Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And tonight, we're very blessed to have with us David Els, and we're going to be talking about the rapture. And I know there's a lot of confusion out there about it, and David is going to take quite a while here and go through it, A to Z, and there will be no interruptions. So, hi, David.
Hi, God bless you, Georgianne.
Oh, God bless you for being here on my little show. So, okay, where do we start with this rapture, and how did people get the idea that, you know, I mean, there's thousands of people every day that are persecuted and believe in Jesus Christ, and they are not raptured.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, throughout the scriptures, we see that when God's people fell into apostasy, there was always a kind of a wishful thinking doctrine that fell in there, a doctrine of peace and prosperity and escape and so on and so forth. And
mm-hmm.
The false prophets always brought this false theology, when the true prophets, who were in the great minority, spoke the truth of God's coming judgments in every case, in every beast kingdom, as a matter of fact. The false prophets rose up and said, no, it's not going to happen to us. We're the people of God. We're not going through that. We're never going to see the beast, so on and so forth. Well, it's just not been history. You know, the Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So we've already gone through this six times in history. Six major times, I should say many lesser times, like in the book of Judges, it goes through the same cycle with the smaller beast kingdoms, but six major times in history, God's people have come up to a time when they're facing bondage to the beast. It was Egypt, it was Assyria, it was Babylon, it was Media Persia, it was Greece, it was Rome, and now, of course, we're coming to the seventh and the eighth, as the Bible promises in Revelation 17. Well, God's people didn't escape the beast. In any of these circumstances, in every case, God raised the beast up for the purpose of bringing his apostate, rebellious people to their cross. And so here we are again. This time we're not talking about little Israel. We're talking about big Israel. And what I mean by that is, if you follow Romans chapter 11, you see that the church, through faith, was grafted into the olive tree, which was called all Israel. So now, since God has a worldwide spiritual Israel, he is raising up a worldwide beast to come against that worldwide order of his people. So history is just repeating. It's just repeating on a larger scale. Now, the theology that's sprung up, the wishful thinking, peace and prosperity theology, is that everybody's going to fly away and never going to see any of this. Mm-hmm. How neat. The only thing is, tribulation is what God said we would go through to be perfected. Through much tribulation, shall ye enter the kingdom. And tribulation is not for the world. Tribulation is for the saints. That's what the Bible teaches. If everybody flew away, who is God going to tribulate? The wrath is for the rest of the people. Tribulation is for God's people. And the wrath is for the wicked who persecute God's people. So I thought we would look at that today a little bit, concerning the same verses that most of the people are using to say, well, we're going to escape all this. But it just doesn't hold water. It's not biblical. It cannot be found in the scriptures. And I'll tell you the truth, some of the people already know this. I mean, some of the leaders already know this.
Wow.
And they don't dare debate anybody that knows the scriptures.
You know, David, a lady that I know that, I mean, she has been taught since she was a child that, you know, that she will be raptured. And I asked her what basis, what scriptures, you know, does her pastor base that on? And she went and asked him, and he said 1 Thessalonians 5, chapters 4, verse 13, for an example.
Are you talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, along in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want, we can start right there and look at this and just see if it's biblical.
Okay.
Okay? Well, I'll read that then. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the famous verse that that pre-tribbers use. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and that are left shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've discovered a very easy way to disprove this, and I'll just point this out to you. We see here in this text that the rapture and the resurrection happen at the same time. We have quite a few confirmations of that in the scriptures. It says that it happens with the trump of God, and that the rapture and the resurrection happen at the same time. So it's easy to prove when this is in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, it's easy to prove exactly when this happens in the scripture. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at another verse that says basically the same thing that one does, that the rapture and the resurrection happen at the same time. And it says in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep," meaning die, "but we shall all be changed," all be changed, "in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." There's the trump again. It identifies it a little more specifically as the last trump here, because the last trump is in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, and it specifically tells us there that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. We're talking about the end here, folks. The last trump is the last trump. There is no last trump at the beginning of the tribulation period. The last trump is at the end of the tribulation period.
Right.
But let me make a good point here. We're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed, meaning, of course, the people that are alive and the people that are dead are going to be changed at the same time at the last trump. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Again, we see two witnesses here that the rapture and the resurrection of the dead happen at the same time. Now, if we find out, for instance, when the resurrection happens, we'll know when the rapture happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we find out when the rapture happens, we'll know when the resurrection happens, because they happen at the same time. We have two witnesses, the two most famous verses that the pre-tribbers use. So let's see if we can prove exactly when these things happen. And I know we can from the scriptures. So in 1 Corinthians 15 and 21, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming." So now we're talking about the resurrection of the dead, which of course we've just seen is also the time of the rapture. And he tells us that these are going to happen in their order, each in their own order. And it's going to happen like this: Christ as the first fruits of those resurrected from the dead, then they that are Christ at his coming. And then the next verse says, "Then cometh the end." Notice it didn't say, "Then cometh the 7 years before the end." It says, "Then cometh the end." So Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. The resurrection of the dead and the rapture happen right there at Christ's coming, and it happens at the end, notice. Okay? Now, if we can prove, for instance, when this resurrection happens, we know when the rapture happens because they happen at the same time. All right? So if we go to, for instance, Revelation chapter 20, I want to point out to you, we just noticed that Paul said there was only one more resurrection of the righteous dead. Did you notice that? Christ. Then they that are Christ that is coming. There's only one more resurrection of the righteous dead. Now, if we go to Revelation chapter 20, we see that John agrees with that. John, who got this revelation in something like 96 A.D., was looking down the road in our direction, and he saw what he called the first resurrection. There was no resurrection between this resurrection and John. He looked all the way down the road at the time of the first resurrection, which is what? the time of the rapture. So he looked down the road and he saw this, he called the first resurrection. Let's read it.
Okay.
Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, and for the word of God. And such as worship not the beast, neither his image, and receive not the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Notice that Paul is saying, John is saying that the first resurrection, or God is saying through John, that the first resurrection is those that went through the time of the martyrdom, through the time of the image of the beast, through the time of the mark of the beast. They refused it all, they overcame, and they came to the first resurrection of the dead. For goodness sake, we've been told the resurrection happens at the beginning of the tribulation period. Now we're seeing that the resurrection and the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation period. Very clear. Very clear. Okay? Now, there's a reason why the rapture and resurrection have to happen at the end of the tribulation period. Not only does the Bible tell us specifically what day this is going to happen, and I'm going to prove this to you, okay? Not only does the Bible say that, but the Bible, there's a reason why the rapture and the resurrection have to happen at the end. Did you notice that? Back over 1 Corinthians 15. It has to happen at the end, okay? Here's why. Chapter 7. Turn to chapter 7. There's a great company that's coming out of great tribulation. Okay, we'll start in verse 9. And after these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, out of every nation, tribe, and people, and tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes, with palms in their hands. So these people are in heaven, in the presence of God. And who are they? Well, verse 13 says, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, These are that are arrayed in the white robes, who are they, and whence came they? And I say unto him, My Lord, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they that come out of the great tribulation. And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's something I need to point out to you. First of all, they came out of the great tribulation, which everybody recognizes as the last 3.5 years, almost everybody. Okay, they came out of the great tribulation. If everybody in the great tribulation is going to be raptured and resurrected, it has to happen at the end. If you have a resurrection, for instance, at the beginning of the tribulation period, none of these people, since they came out of the great tribulation period, could be resurrected. Think about it, folks. If there's only one resurrection of the dead, which the Bible says plainly that there is, of the righteous dead, not the wicked, but the righteous dead, and there's only one more, it happens at the end, because everybody that dies during the tribulation period and is martyred or whatever, they have to be resurrected. This great number here, they all have to be resurrected. That would be impossible. If the resurrection happened at the beginning of the tribulation period, which is where the rapture happened, would have to happen with it, right? Then none of these people could be resurrected. So now we see that the rapture and the resurrection has to happen the very last thing. Since there's only one resurrection, it has to be at the end, or somebody, some faithful saint who gave their life for the Lord, will never see him. They would never be resurrected. Now that doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Okay, so now let me prove to you that Jesus also agreed with what I'm saying. We can look in John chapter 6, okay? John chapter 6, and let's look in verse 39. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Notice he didn't say 7 years before the last day, like the wishful thinking theology. He said at the last day, which is exactly where it has to happen, because if it doesn't happen there, somebody's going to be left out. Now, he reiterated this in verse 40. He said, For this is the will of my Father, that every one that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. There it is again. If that wasn't enough, you got verse 44. No man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. Now, I don't know how many times God has to say this. The resurrection of the dead is not 7 years before the last day. It has to be the last day, or somebody's going to miss out.
That's pretty plain.
Oh, very plain. Now, we got
one little question.
Okay.
David, when it says that that God will shorten the time, lest there be no flesh left alive.
I'm going to come to that.
Okay.
There's a good opportune moment for me to share that.
Okay.
Okay? Let's look at another confirmation from Job. Job 14. Okay?
Okay.
And verse 12. And it says, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be roused out of their sleep.
Mm.
Well, now, folks, if the resurrection of the dead was at the beginning of the tribulation period, and the heavens would be destroyed at that time, there wouldn't be a tribulation period. You can't have a tribulation period without the heavens. Now, read this again. Man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be roused out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in Sheol, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Well, look, folks, the resurrection of the dead and the rapture happen when the at the time when the Lord destroys the heaven and the earth. Now, we're going to prove that, okay? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. 2 Peter 3, and let's see, where's a good place to start here? 2 Peter 3:10. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Now, you've heard about the Lord coming as a thief?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it is. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and earth and the works that there are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are all thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to this promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see here that the coming of the Lord is the time of the day of the Lord, is when the heavens and the earth are destroyed. Well, we don't have to go far in Peter to find out when this happens. We have a perfect type and a shadow. It's in verse 5 and verse 6. It says, for this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. By which means, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are, and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Just as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said. We're going to look at the days of Noah in a minute. But right now, it's just as it was in the days of Noah. Do you remember that when Noah got in the ark, it says here that the earth, the heavens and the earth perished?
Right.
Why? Because the water vapor canopy above the heavens had protected the earth and kept the rays from shortening the lifespan of man and so on and so forth. That fell. It fell on the earth. It destroyed the earth as we knew it. Now, Jesus said, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Noah, that flood was a day of wrath upon this earth. The wrath of God was poured out upon the wicked. Noah was in the ark. Noah went up. I know some people use this as a pre-trib rapture, but we're going to look at this very specifically and watch very carefully now. So we see here that the heavens are destroyed not 1,000 years from now. The heavens are destroyed at the end of this era, at the time of Noah, as the days of Noah. The people who are in the ark are going to go up as the heavens and the earth are destroyed. It's very clear here what we're looking at. Now, go with me to Matthew 24. And we're going to see some very specific proof here in just a minute. Just stick with me. And Matthew 24. Before we look at the days of Noah, I want to look at one more thing here. What is the difference between the tribulation and the day of the Lord? Okay? Verse 29 says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days. What tribulation is he talking about? Okay, if you go to verse 21, you see he's talking about the great tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation. This is after the abomination of desolation. This is in the end of the last 3.5 years. So we're talking about after the 7 years of tribulation here. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And what happens? Well, verse 31, he sends forth his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And folks, I want to let you know this. In Mark 13 and 27, the same text says, from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because you enter heaven here. You enter heaven on earth. This is one end of heaven.
I never thought of that. My gosh.
Yeah, when you put these two verses together, you understand that the only place you can enter heaven is on earth. This is one end of heaven. Okay? Yeah. So you enter... See, Jesus said that, basically. You know, that the kingdom of heaven is among you, and he also said it's within you.
Mm-hmm.
So we enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is where God reigns, here on earth, and if you don't enter here, you don't get to enter. Okay? Now, here's the point. The sun is darkened, and the moon shall not give her light at the time the Lord comes, after the tribulation for his people. After the 7 years, the sun and the moon are darkened, and Jesus takes his people. Now, that's the tribulation, but where's the wrath? And where is the day of the Lord? It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the day of the Lord's wrath, so on and so forth. Well, in Acts 2 and 20, we're told that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Okay, now follow along. Watch very carefully. You have 7 years of tribulation. You have the sun and the moon darkened. And the reason the sun and moon darken, folks, I'm going to tell you right off, is the Lord showed me specifically that this is the time of the great Holocaust, the great nuclear Holocaust, a world war that's a real world war, like has never happened. It's going to happen right here. The sun and the moon are darkened, okay? And the Lord's going to come and take his saints, okay? Now, follow me again. 7 years, the sun and the moon are darkened, and then comes what? The day of the Lord's wrath. You see that? The tribulation is not the wrath.
Okay.
The first 3.5 years is not the wrath. The second 3.5 years is not the wrath. That's tribulation. It's not wrath. Those are two different time periods. The tribulation, by the way, was the seals and the trumps were in the tribulation, but the bowls of wrath are in the wrath of God. They are in that time period following the tribulation. Now, I'm going to prove this to you very specifically, so just follow with me. Don't reject things yet. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just follow with me, and I'm going to prove this. First of all, I want to point out to you that the Bible says that this day of wrath is a year. Isaiah 34 and verse 8 says, for the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Notice it was a day. It was a year, a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Why is this? Because during the tribulation, these people treated God's people very badly. Matter of fact, they made war on them, persecuted them, and killed them. And now what's God doing? And now God's pouring out his wrath upon the earth for the way that they have mistreated his people. That's Isaiah 34 and 8, very plainly. You see there a day that is a year. By the way, the 70 weeks, the 70th week of Daniel, each day in that is a year. So you've got 7 years, and you've got one more year. This one more year is called the Day of the Lord, or the Day of the Lord's Wrath. Now, I want to give you another confirmation, because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Isaiah 63:4, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, the year. There it is again, a day that is a year. The year of my redeemed is come. Wow. So, God's coming. We just noticed that God's coming for his redeemed, and then there's going to be a year of this wrath poured out. You following me?
Yes.
Verse 5. But I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my wrath it upheld me. And I trod down the peoples in mine anger, and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their life blood upon the earth. This is that year that follows the 7 years. This is the wrath of God. People say we're not appointed unto wrath, but what they think when they say that is that we're not going into tribulation. False. We are going into tribulation, and we are going to avoid the wrath. Okay, now I want you to go back to Matthew 24. I want to show you exactly when the Lord's coming. I mean exactly. I'm going to show you to the day when the Lord is coming. You say, well, that can't be, David, because, I know. I've heard all that, but let's look at the Bible, okay? Let's look in Matthew 24 and 33. Even so, you also, when you see all these things, know ye that he is nigh, even at the doors. Wow, that's the soon coming of the Lord, right? Very clear. Mm-hmm. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away until all these things be accomplished, including what? His coming. His coming is right there at the door. Okay? This generation shall not pass away until all this is accomplished. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Wow. At the time of the coming of the Lord, the generation that he was speaking about would not pass away, but the heaven and the earth would pass away. And my words shall not pass away. Now watch carefully. You've probably heard this verse quoted out of text quite a bit, but I want you to pay real close attention. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no one. Now, even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. Of that day. What that day are you talking about here? Well, you're talking about, verse 33, the coming of the Lord. You're talking about the generation that will not pass away until they see this. You're talking about heavens and earth passing away. Of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. So, that day that he's talking about here is the heaven and earth passing away and the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see it very, very clearly. Okay. Well, but David, it says, no man knoweth. Well, knoweth is not future tense. Knoweth is present tense. God did not say that in our day no one would know. The Lord Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they didn't know the hour of his visitation. Now, we're about to see his visitation again, and I guess what? He's going to rebuke the Pharisees again because they don't know. But the truth is, the Bible tells us very plainly, very specifically, when the Lord's going to come. I'm going to show it to you. Okay, but of that hour knoweth, present tense, no one. Not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So, we know that he's given us a clue here. The days of Noah show us the time of the coming of the Son of Man. But they didn't know it in their day. Notice that. Well, does that mean in our day we will know it? Yes, in our day we will know it. He gave us a sign that we would be able to read in our day. Not a sign that they would be able to read because they haven't seen the sign yet. We're the ones that are going to see the sign. Okay?
So, goodness.
Let's look at Genesis chapter 7 at the days of Noah. Because he's going to give us the sign of when the Lord's going to come. Specifically, he's going to give us the sign of when the Lord's going to come. Not only he's going to do it, we're going to have two witnesses here because Daniel gives the exact same witness, okay? So, if you look at the days of Noah, you can't look at the 120 years. Everybody says 120 years, 120 years. Well, I admit that there is something there, but years are not days. He said look at the days of Noah. Okay? There is something there because we're about 120 jubilee years, okay, to the coming of the Lord. But we want to look at the days because Jesus said, as were the days, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. He gave us a clue, okay? Now, in verse 4, it says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. Notice, after, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain. This is the days of Noah. Notice that after 7 days, the flood started coming. After 7 days. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now we see something. We see that it's not going to come at the beginning of the 7 days. It's coming at the end of the 7 days. This is the same famous 7 days that's spoken of all through the Scriptures. It's the 70th week of Daniel, 9 and 27. The 7 days. Well, now, what is Noah seeing here? Noah, when did Noah know when the flood was coming and, of course, the ark was going to lift off? He knew at the beginning of the 7 days.
Mm.
Notice, for yet 7 days. The Lord didn't say this a day for a day ahead or a day behind. He said, at the very beginning of the 7 days, he said, for yet 7 days. And then the flood's going to come, the ark's going to lift off. Wow. So we're going to know at the beginning of the 7 days? Well, if you know what your Bible says, you will. If you have discernment, you will. If you can read the signs of the times, as Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not being able to do, you will. At the beginning of the 7 days, we're going to know when the Lord's coming. Okay, we're not through looking at the days of Noah. Let's look a little bit further, okay? So, if you look, for instance, at verse 10, it says, and it came to pass after the 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, in the same day, there was all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. So here's where the flood starts. At the end of 7 days, the flood starts. This is the wrath now. The 7 days were a tribulation to Noah and his family, but the wrath is what he was not going to go through. Okay, so let's look at the wrath. Okay, if you go down to, for instance, verse 17, it says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Okay, so now you got 7 days that represent the 70th week of Daniel, which is 7 years. 7 days that are 7 years, and now you see 40 more days before the ark is lifted off. They're actually sitting there in the flood for 40 days before the ark actually lifts off. So they get to see some of this. You know, the Bible says, by the way, in Psalm 91, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Do you know that before God's people leave this earth, they're going to get to see the reward of the wicked? They're going to be sitting through 40 days of the wrath of God. Now, I didn't say they were going to be in the wrath of God. They're obviously not. They're in the ark, totally protected from the wrath of God. Now, I want to tell you something God told me. This was a word of knowledge he gave me years ago. He told me that this 40 days was a foreshadowing of God's people leaving Egypt, the Passover.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
There is a great Passover for God's people coming. It's going to last for 40 days. They're going to be in the spiritual ark of Jesus Christ. They're going to be totally protected. Matter of fact, he told me it was going to be a Psalm 91 Passover. What does that mean? Well, you notice Psalm 91, that the wicked would die all around God's people. 1,000 on the right, 10,000 on the left, but it won't come nigh thee. The wicked would die all around God's people, but it wouldn't touch them. Well, for 40 days, that's what happened to Noah. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. He was on this earth for 40 days, in the ark, totally protected, while the wrath was falling all around the ark, destroying the wicked. Okay? A Psalm 91 passage. You know, if you read Psalm 91, it tells you that his angels will bear thee up. Dost thou even dash thy foot against a stone. We're not talking about a physical ark this time, folks. We're talking about the ark of Jesus Christ. If you abide in him, then you are going to be totally safe. The angels are going to be protecting you for 40 days. Should you be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, you will be in this ark. And if you're in this spiritual ark, which is the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91 says, that none of these evil things will happen. Read Psalm 91, folks. It is a Passover. Now, I'm not saying Psalm 91 has to wait for you or for me. Psalm 91 is true now. Not everybody's entering into it, because not everybody believes it, and not everybody's abiding in Christ, because Psalm 91 is for those who are abiding in the secret place of the Most High. We're the only ones who know where that place is. It is abiding in Jesus Christ, you see. So, it is the secret place of the Most High. So, we see a Psalm 91 Passover for Noah in the ark, which foreshadows a Psalm 91 Passover for the saints after what? The 7 years. Now, how long were the flood waters upon the earth? We just found out that after 7 years, the wrath of God was for another year. There's actually 8 years in the book of Revelation before the rest of the millennium. Not 7 years. The reasons people get so confused in the book of Revelation is they're trying to jam those 8 years into 7 years. They won't fit, folks. It won't happen. The bowls of wrath are poured out in this flood. They're not poured out before the flood. Okay? Now, how long was this water upon the earth? We can't tell exactly from this text, but we can tell pretty close. He tells us, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, 600, of course, that's an abbreviation for the 6,000th year that we've become into, right? In the second month, in the 17th day of the month. Okay, now you follow on down all the way down to 8 and 13, and you see, and 8 and 14, and you see when the waters are dried up. He says in 14, for instance, in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month. That's 10 days over a year. If you go from verse chapter 7 and verse 11 to chapter 8 and verse 14, that's 10 days over a year. And actually, we may have gone just a little bit too far, because this is talking about when they had already arrived on earth, and actually the floodwaters hadn't dried up yet. Okay, so it actually may be 10 days too much. It may be exactly a year like Isaiah 34 and 8 says. Exactly a year. Okay? So, here you got a year of flood. And before that, you got 7 years. And Noah knew at the beginning of the 7 years when the Lord was going to come for him. So, how do we count this up? Well, we count 7 years plus 40 days. What does that come out to? Well, if you've got 7 years, you've got 2,555 days, because God was not using the Jewish calendar here. This was not a lunar solar calendar. This was just solar time, perfect time. God said so many days. Now, Daniel used a lunar solar calendar, okay, but here he's not. He's using solar time. He said so many days, okay, so many years. Okay, so you got 7 days, which are 7 years, which is times 365 would be 2,555. Okay, then you take 40 more, and you come to 2,595. And what happened to 2,595 days? The ark lifted off. What does that mean? It means the Lord gathered his people. Do we know when the Lord's going to come? We don't know right now when the Lord's going to come. When will we know? We will know at the beginning of the 7 days, just like Noah. Jesus said, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son. We are going to know at the beginning. If you know what the beginning of the 7 days looks like, which most of the church does not, if you know what the beginning of the 7 days looks like, you know exactly when the Lord's going to come, 2,595 days. Now, we have a witness of this? Absolutely. A perfect witness. Comes out to exactly the same day. Okay? Exactly the same day. Okay, let's go to Daniel. We'll see Daniel's witness, because Daniel also knew at the beginning of the 7 days exactly when the Lord was going to come. Okay? Let's see what Daniel says. So far, there's no way you can fit a pre-trib rapture in any of this. Okay? So, let's see what Daniel says. Now, I want to show you the main difference between these two. The people in the ark are not dead people. They're alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. They were in the ark. They were living. Daniel's revelation is about the dead, the resurrection of the dead. Guess what Daniel proved? He proved that in the same number of days came the resurrection of the dead. That means after 2,595 days, the resurrection of the dead happened. That's a perfect confirmation, folks. The resurrection and the rapture happened at the same time, 2,595 days from the covenant. From the time the covenant is made, that's when the Lord's coming. Do we know this now? No man knoweth. But will we know it then? Yes. Just exactly like Noah knew it, Daniel knew it, and we can prove it. Okay, so let's look at it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination of the desolation set up, that maketh desolate is set up. Okay, now, when is the continual burnt offering taken away? Well, we know from Daniel 9 and 27, where it says that he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That's the beginning of the 7 days. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So here we have Daniel 12 and verse 11, and it tells you the sacrifice has ceased from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away. So what time is this? The midst of the week. The middle of the week. The middle of the tribulation, the continual burnt offering shall be taken away. So, now he's going to tell you how far to count from the middle of the tribulation. Okay? There shall be 1,290 days. So if you count from the middle of the tribulation, 1,290 days, what does that come to? It comes to the end of the tribulation period. 2,555 days. How do we know that? Well, because in Revelation chapter 12, 5 and 6, we're told that the first 3.5 years of tribulation period is 1,260 days. So why is it 1,260 and 1,290 days? Is 1,260 for the first 3.5 and 1,290 for the second? Well, how do we know that? Well, because here's what the Jews did. The way their lunisolar calendar worked is that after every 6 years, they added 30 days to their calendar in order to make a solar correction after every 6 years. So what you have in a 7-year period, you would have 1,260 and 1,290. 1,260 and 1,290. That's how they corrected their lunar calendar. Okay? So, watch carefully now. 1,260 and 1,290 brings us to the end of the 7 days of the tribulation. Okay? But verse 12 says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. In other words, instead of 1,290 from the middle, you go 1,335 days from the middle. And where does that bring you to? Well, guess what, folks? It brings you 2,595 days from the beginning of the covenant, exactly where Noah said.
Oh, my goodness.
The only difference is, verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Stand in thy lot? He's talking about the resurrection of the dead, folks. From 1,260 plus 1,335 brings you to 2,595 days, exactly when the ark lifted off. The ark, of course, was carrying the we that are alive and remain, and now he's saying the resurrection of the dead happens at the same time. That's two witnesses. Where's your pre-tribulation rapture? The Bible tells you exactly when the Lord's coming. He's coming at the first resurrection, and there it is in verse 13, exactly when the Lord is coming. Notice, it's again, now let me point something else out to you that's pretty neat. If you go back, we have a kind of a confirmation of this. You have 1,260 days and then 1,290 days. Remember what I said, that after six years, the Jews added 30 days to their calendar. Therefore, you had 1,260 and 1,290. Okay? But what about the seventh year? See, the Jews didn't correct, they didn't solar correct the seventh year for another 6 years. But the Gentiles would do it. Not only the Gentiles would do it, actual time would have to be corrected on the seventh year. So watch this. If you got 1260, 1290, and you had 5 days for the seventh year, which the Gentiles would do, but the Jews would not, according to their calendar, you come up to that exact time when you can add 40 days to that and end up at the same place as the 1,335 days. You come up to the exact same place. See, what Noah was dealing with was perfect time. What Daniel was dealing with is the Jewish calendar. Mm-hmm. Now, if you add that 5 days in there, now even if you ignore all of this, 1,230 and 1,335 comes up to the exact same day. So just remember that. So we're not trying to pull nothing over on you, because if you take those two, it comes up to the exact same day. Okay? The only thing is, if you go 1,230 and 1,290 and add 40 days, you come up 5 days short of the 2,595 days. Mm-hmm. But if you go 1,290, add the 5 days for the seventh year, you come up to the exact same place where if you add 40 days, you come up to the 1,335 days. You come up to the 2,595 days. You see, when you make a perfect solar correction to the lunar solar calendar, it comes up to the exact same place. Once again, I want to remind you that even if you don't do that, 1,260 days and 1,335 days comes up to 2,595 days. There's no way you can get out of it. No way. So if you cross-check this thing, you still come up with 2,595 days. This is awesome, folks. It's a confirmation. Listen, if you know what the covenant looks like, which the overwhelming majority of God's people do not know what the covenant looks like, they've been listening to fairy tales just like they've been listening to at the pre-tribulation rapture.
Okay,
it's a fairy tale.
What does the covenant look like, David?
Well, we didn't get there today.
Okay.
I would like to talk about that one day, if the Lord willing. But I want to finish proving absolutely. I want to wash this totally out of your head. If you don't understand that you're going through the tribulation period, you are not getting prepared for this. If you're not getting prepared for this, you just might fall in it. I'm warning you now. You are going through the tribulation period. You will not go through the wrath unless you are wicked, unless you turn out to be one of those so-called Christians who persecutes the saints. And believe me, folks, there's going to be a lot of Christians that persecute the saints. I use the term Christian loosely there. But in Jesus' day, it was God's people that persecuted and killed the saints. Right. And believe you me, the majority of people who are called Christian will be persecutors. They will go through the wrath of God. The only ones that won't go through the wrath of God is the saints. You know what saints mean, right? The sanctified ones. They are separated. That's what sanctified means. They are holy. That's what sanctified means. Same word, matter of fact. They're separated from this world, and they're holy. And they're persecuted by the lukewarm, wicked Christians. So, now I need to go back and clear some points up, okay? Can you go back with me just a little bit, clear some points up, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, okay? Let me go back there, because I passed up some things that are going to leave questions in people's minds unless I cover them.